Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 247. And Lucy from Adelaide in South Australia is my guest on today's show, bringing a dream for us to interpret and explore and relate it to her waking life and see what guidance she wishes or chooses to take from that. If you haven't listened to The Dream Show before, then I should explain that we're actually putting the beginning of the show on now. I have just talked with Lucy and we've explored a dream. And the way that we work is that you volunteer to be a guest wherever you are in the world. We pick our guests from people who volunteer. And I don't know anything about the dream until we start recording. So what you hear is you hear the dream at the same time as you hear me hearing the dream at the same time. And you hear us work through the dream from there. And I'm told that that's what all of you love, that sense of working through it along with me. And I sometimes have a thought, and I've never suggested this before, maybe I should write a blog on it, that if you're quite advanced in your dream interpretation and dream exploration abilities, you might occasionally, and maybe some of you already do this, you might occasionally want to press pause after listening to the guest describe their dream, press pause on the podcast and think to yourself, well, what questions will I ask, or what do I have a feeling this dream means? And then switch it on and see how we go from there. Just a thought. Before we do go there, a reminder of the website. It says janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. At janeteresa.com, you can listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. And you can also always listen to the last several most recent on all the normal podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, basically all of them. At janeteresa.com, you can also read hundreds of blogs about dreams and dreaming that I've written. You can also find out about my consultation services, whether that's consulting to explore a dream with me by phone or by email or by Zoom, whether it's dream therapy, whether it's one of my programs like Explore Your Dreams, or whether it's my mentoring services. They're all there at janeteresa.com. And the other website, the Dream Academy, where you can go to learn online various courses about dreams, starting with a course called How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step, and moving on from there to various other courses. The address of the Dream Academy is dream-academy-online.com. And those courses you study in your own time, at your own pace. You can take all the time that you want. Once you enroll, you've got access to the course material forever. And they are a mixture of videos of, so you'll meet me in there on video, pre-recorded videos, and notes to download and charts and all kinds of things. So that's the Dream Academy, dream-academy-online.com, or find me on the socials, mostly Instagram or Facebook. Let's move on to Lucy and her dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Lucy.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. And it's nice to be speaking to someone in Australia for a change. You're in Adelaide.
Yeah, it's not far from you, actually, across the river. I mean, the sea.
Across the sea, yeah.
Yeah.
Except you're in lockdown and I'm not at the moment. How's lockdown going?
Well, so far I've cleaned out a lot of the cupboards and I'm getting a few jobs done, and yeah, it's not. I'm quite enjoying lockdown. So, yeah.
Well, just to explain for people listening in, this is a 7-day lockdown, isn't it, in Adelaide, and you're halfway through, so it's not like a huge long one.
No. I can feel for Sydney's got it a lot worse than we have, and yeah, so yeah. I'm just staying home to stay away from the virus.
Stay away from the virus and get those cupboards sorted out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, as usual, Lucy, I have no idea what dream a person brings to the show, so it's over to you now to tell me your dream.
Okay, so I had this dream this week on Thursday. I drove up to my mother-in-law's house, and she was walking along the road with a long artificial red wig in her. It was raining, and she was walking a dog, and in my head, I thought, I'm not crazy. Like, I thought, I just thought to myself, I'm not crazy. That is her wearing a long wig, red wig. And her wig fell off on the road, in the middle of the road, in the rain. So I stopped to get her wig for her. And then she was walking a dog. So when we arrived there, it was like my it wasn't really anyone's house. It was just the backyard of this place. There were four dogs. There was a border collie, including my dog, Bonnie, which I had with me, and some of my sister's dogs, which... And Bonnie's sort of like a dog my daughter bought, but it lives with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then inside the room, there was a room, and my husband's sister was selling cakes and like nibbles, and it was like a seminar, and it was kind of finishing her little shop, or sort of not really a shop, but like a kind of place to get food, was stopping at 11, and I bought a chocolate biscuit in a packet,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have enough money for it. I only had like some silver, but it was actually $2. And I got one for my husband, Lee, who's outside, and I said to her, he might have the rest of the money. And then there was other food left over as well. So she was kind of packing up at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my way out of there, I walked past the sink, and there were so many knives and forks in the sink waiting to be washed, like lined up in the sink. And I thought I should help them and wash these. And then I thought to myself, it's not my job. And then I walked out. And that was my dream.
I love the bottom line, it's not my job, and walked out. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm just writing down the last bit.
Yep.
Yeah. And you walked out. Great. Fantastic. So there's some really interesting symbols in here, but I just want to clarify a few little things. You said there were four dogs. One was a border collie. One was your dog, Bonnie. And one was your sister's dog?
Yeah. So one of the dogs was my sister's. And then I guess one of them was my mother-in-law's, because she kind of arrived as I arrived at this thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was your mother-in-law's actual dog, or was this a dream dog?
No, it's a dog my daughter sometimes takes her dog, Bonnie, to her friends, and it looked like that dog, they get along well, this other dog of hers. It's called, I can't remember what the dog's called, but it's sort of like a little, sort of furry little dog.
Yeah. And in the dream, did the four dogs get on well?
Yeah, they did. But you know, when there's four dogs, it's a bit chaotic. But they weren't. Nobody was. None of the dogs were fighting. It was just like four dogs. I just remember there were four dogs outside.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, that isn't it? That the dogs all kind of symbolise or belong to members of the family. There's your dog, which is really your daughter's dog, and then there's your mother-in-law's dog, and then there's your sister's dog. So although they're dogs, there's kind of references to women in the family there, four women in the family.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's all females, really, yeah.
Yeah.
And I do like dogs. Like, I've got a thing for dogs. So, yeah, I don't know if that's relevant.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes, it would be. So, and the border collie, is Bonnie a border collie, or is that... just the breed that you noticed?
Well, when I was young, we had a border collie. So, when I was growing up, we always had a border collie. And then when we got another border collie, so border collies are kind of like the dogs I grew up with. And Bonnie's more of a kind of rescue dog who looks a little bit like she's supposed to be a Kelpie, but she looks a little bit like a dingo.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's a little bit, so Bonnie can like... The day before I walked her, and she can sort of get a bit snappy with people when you're walking by. She gets a bit vicious, but she's a lovely dog at home. She just gets very protective. Mm. Yeah.
So you really see the dingo in her with that snappy?
Yeah, I don't know if she is a dingo, but she has a sort of, I don't know what she is. She came from Cooper Pedy, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. Probably a bit in there somewhere. So the border collie, basically, particularly because you mentioned the border collie first up in the dream, does represent for you dogs that you grew up with or some aspect of growing up. So as we go into the dream, there may be some aspect here of what I grew up with within the female line or female beliefs that I grew up with in my life and how I'm handling them. So the way that we look at a dream is we say they're dreaming. dream the dream is processing what was happening for you in the 1 to 2 days before the dream, all your conscious and unconscious experiences. And in processing that last 1 to 2 days, it then looks back over your entire life looking for similar kind of experiences or feelings or beliefs to compare them to update your mindset overnight and prepare you for the next day in a perfect world. So as we're looking at this dream, we're looking at what happened for you on Wednesday and Thursday in waking life, because you had the dream on Thursday night. And then, as I say, there seems to be some review here, going back perhaps to childhood and perhaps to what your beliefs and feelings and experiences are to be female in this world, or to be a female member of a family, mother-in-law, sister, daughter, yourself.
So yeah, Actually, I had the dream Wednesday night, so Thursday morning. So this week I've been doing a lot of cleaning and doing a lot of cooking for the family, and that's sort of like what I was brought up to do. Like, the woman does all the cooking and the cleaning, and
yes,
and also I've been trying to sort out a job. Like, I had a job, and just sorting out whether I'm thinking a lot about whether or not I want to stay in that job or do something else.
Yeah, that's really good to know, because I sort of picked that up in the part of the dream where we've got the question about the dollars and whether Lee, your husband, would have the money. So we'll come to that, because he's the male in the dream. And sometimes the male in the dream, particularly when it's like really there's all these women and there's one male, sometimes, not always, but sometimes that male can represent your outer world or your world of work or your yang, whereas all the females can represent your inner world or your emotional world or what it is to be female. And the fact at one point in the dream you thought, well, Lee might have the money, it's kind of some reference to, well, what's happening in my outer world, maybe there's something that I need there. So I kind of had that little guess. So that's really good background information. If we start at the beginning of the dream, you're driving to your mother-in-law's house. You were driving.
Well, I'm sort of driving along the road and I see her walking a dog.
Oh, that's right, yes.
With a red long wig. Red. But it's an artificial, and she looks a bit strange.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, is that her? And then it's not really like her. It's just, she doesn't even talk to me or anything. And then the wig falls off and I get it for her. That's all that happens.
Which is lovely. Where were you driving to? Have you any idea?
Well, I was driving to the left and she was on the right-hand side of the road. And I was just driving and I wasn't going, and I didn't realise I was going to this seminar, but that's where I ended up with her. So she was walking her dog, and that's where we ended up. It wasn't a house, really.
So you were on the left, or you were about to turn left?
No, I was driving along the left-hand side of the road, and
she was on the right-hand side, walking
a dog in the rain.
Okay. For our overseas listeners, of course, that's what we do in Australia. We drive on the left-hand side of the road, so that's kind of normal for us. So you see a woman that looks, it's not your mother-in-law, but it reminds you of your mother-in-law, and you say to yourself, I'm not crazy. And so we've got I'm not crazy, we've got the fact that the long red wig does indeed look crazy, but more importantly than that, it's artificial, and you think she's a bit strange, and then it also falls off and you go and get it for her. So the beginning of a dream often introduces a situation that the rest of the dream goes on to explore. So there's a sense in this dream of, and also because I come at it from everyone in a dream represents something about us, ourself, the dreamer. So there's this feeling at the beginning of the dream of, I'm trying to get somewhere in my life, like I'm driving, I'm trying to get somewhere in my life. And I'm sometimes I feel a bit crazy, but I'm not crazy, but there's something that's artificial about me, or that feels a bit strange, or that I worry feels artificial or strange, and it's just dropped off. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to make things right. So there's kind of like an acknowledgement that there's been something that you've been, that's in your image, represented by the long red hair in the dream, something you've been projecting out into the world that has actually, as far as you're concerned, really been a bit artificial, a bit strange, not really how you want to be seen, and that's made you feel that, actually, you know, maybe I'm appearing a bit crazy here and I'm not crazy. So something along those lines. But you see the woman as your mother-in-law. So we should start with what three words would you usually use to describe your mother-in-law's personality or approach to life?
Okay, I think she's very down to earth, a little bit eccentric, perhaps, and she spends a lot of. She likes to be alone, and she's old. She's older now. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, that's great. So, in the fact that she's a little bit eccentric, did you feel in the dream that the long red wig kind of fitted that feeling of being a bit eccentric?
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's definitely. There's like a weird looking wig. Yeah. thought, wow. What's she wearing that for? Yeah.
So the beginning of the dream could be along the lines of, there's something in my life where I, Lucy, feel that I'm either feel I'm being eccentric, I feel I'm being a bit artificial about something, I feel like I'm being a bit over the top, or I fear being seen that way. And I'm a bit worried about this because really I'm not crazy. Maybe I think that I may be seen as being crazy, but I'm not. Maybe I feel like I'm being crazy, but I'm not.
Yeah, I think what that is, I think I am a little bit different and I try to fit in a lot. So I think the artificialness is me trying to say what people want to hear and things and not saying what I really think, perhaps.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah, and especially, you know, just going along with things and not saying, well, hang on a minute, I don't think this is a good idea, especially with work, because the situation at work, I think I'm a little bit compliant, and rather than saying what's going on, because, yeah, maybe that's what the artificialness is.
Makes perfect sense, absolutely perfect sense, yeah. And I love that feeling that also realising that I'm not crazy, you know, this is not...
Really I'm just me. That's right. I'm deep down. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm sane.
Yeah, you're totally sane and you're okay. But you're noticing that you are, or feeling that you're too compliant, and the real you is not really showing up, perhaps in the way that you would like, or wondering what would happen if I showed them the real me underneath this long red wig.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What would if you, not your mother-in-law, but if you had a long red wig or long red hair, what would that say about you, do you think? What would you be trying to project into the world by having long red hair?
I think trying to hide a bit, so under the hair, and also, I don't know, just, not trying to disguise myself as someone else. I guess that's what I think of. It reminds me of kind of like the wigs at the show, but it's not even that bright colour. It's very dull. It's not very interesting. So I guess in that sense, if I'm disguising myself, it's not very interesting for other people to have an artificial me.
Exactly.
I guess maybe that's what the dream's saying, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet the wig actually fell off in the dream. So there's a sense there that in the one or two days before the dream, you may have... realize this, and so it's like, well, I can't really keep this up. It's my wanting to hide behind a not very interesting facade and too compliant has kind of fallen off, or it's fallen away, or I can't keep this up for much longer. It's fallen, and yet you go and rescue it in the dream, but you're already exposed to yourself, if not to anybody else.
Yeah, that's right. And I have been doing, like, listening to podcasts. And I've been listening to your dream podcast and different podcasts about recognizing the inner child and just sort of working on things like that. So whether that sort of made me think more about my own, I don't know, journey in life, I guess.
I'm sure it would be, given that you've got the border collie in there. So you've obviously been reflecting back over, you know, how you've been brought up. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And the fact that you then go to the a generalised backyard, you say you're not so aware of the house, but you've got the backyard. So it's really like, this is the backyard of me, of Lucy. This is what's behind me, what's in here. And you've got all the dogs, which you love, something that you really do love, but also connected with people who you obviously love as well. I imagine, you know, yourself, your sister, your mother-in-law, but definitely the female side, you describe as chaotic, but not fighting.
No. There's a bit too many dogs there, probably. Yeah, in a small space.
in a small space. So that, how, where would you say in your life at that time that there's sometimes a bit too much chaos for you in a small space?
Well, if that's to do with my childhood, I came from a big, really huge family, so it might be to do with that. Like, I don't know, like there was a lot of children and we didn't have a lot of space at home. And sometimes here, even in this house I'm in now, where I live now with my husband and my children, I'm sort of holed up in my bedroom today. So maybe sometimes I feel like I can't just take the space, I guess.
Yeah. And that would also relate to what you were saying earlier about, you know, wanting to hide behind the not very interesting hair or be too compliant at work. That's you taking up a small space rather than taking up the whole space that you really are. You know, your whole magnificent self could be an enormous size, and you're occupying, or in the dream you're exploring the fact that sometimes you occupy only a small part of yourself in order to be compliant and to fit in.
Yeah, I think I do that.
And that can create a feeling of chaos when you try to squeeze your big self into a small self. It can be chaotic and feel like you can't breathe, not enough space.
Yeah, I can breathe. It feels a bit like we've got to tidy it up a bit, you know, like the dogs are running around a bit, you know, when you feel like you want to take a few of them away so we got, they're more, less excitable, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you're right, there was nothing in your dream that said you couldn't breathe. You were quite comfortable in that space. You just noticed it was chaotic but not fighting. So that was definitely my mistake there. But yeah, that feeling that's, a couple of the dogs could be moved out of the space and it'd be a bit more comfortable.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah, they're a little bit wild, you know, not wild, but not behaving dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you put that red wig, that long red wig, could be a little bit wild too, couldn't it?
yeah, it is actually. It's a bit out there. I've never seen one like it ever. No.
So that, you know, could be that, if you're contemplating in the dream or in the things that you were reflecting on in the couple of days before the dream, if you allowed yourself to be fully out there, it's like, well, how comfortable would I feel about that? Would I feel that it would be like red wig out there, like totally crazy? or would it feel, you know, you're exploring how you would feel within yourself about being out there?
Yeah, I think I would be. Because there's a certain exposure of yourself when you're out there and you are yourself. There's a sense of being, there's nowhere to sort of hide, I guess.
There's nowhere to hide. And yet on the flip side of that, it can be that the things that you have been hiding that come out are actually things that delight other people and delight yourself and feel good rather than bad.
Yeah.
You know, you're judging them as bad things that you need to hide rather than something wonderful that needs to come out and shine.
Yeah, perhaps. I guess I feel like if people know too much about me, they've got some power over me, I guess.
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't know where that comes from, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, where does that come from? Has anybody ever had power over you from knowing too much about you, like when you were a child, for example?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was, there was a sense of, I was the youngest of a big family, so I think I was a little bit teased, you know. Like if I told them something, I'm not complaining about them, but, you know, I told them something about a boyfriend when I was in grade one and they all teased me. So it's like, just feeling a little bit, maybe it's from childhood because of the border collie, you know.
Yes. That border collie may also be a pun on our borders, our personal borders as well. But I think what you're saying sounds right to me, because it's, you know, when you're in grade one and we're so tiny and delicate and vulnerable and learning about the world, and a thing like that, being teased for having a boyfriend, is absolutely huge in grade one, and it can stay with you for life. It can really build a belief, you know, as you say, that maybe if people know too much about me, they've got power over me. They're going to use it.
Yeah. I think there is that sense of that. That was just one example, but there was that sense of, if they found out something that you liked or wanted, they'd use it. I mean, just doesn't sound good, but that's what it was sometimes like then.
And we'd certainly go on and explore the rest of the dream, but certainly at a time in your life when you're looking at, do I want to change my job or how I am in the outer world, then those childhood things will definitely come up. But what if you know, you reveal more of yourself, will you lose your power because people will have power over you? So it's bringing up all that stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's probably true, yeah. Mm.
So the next part of the dream, you've got your husband's sister selling nibbles and cakes at the seminar.
Yeah.
Mm. And she's got to close her store at 11 o'clock. Is that right?
Yeah, she's only there till 11. And I've had a few dreams about 11 o'clock. And I think the reason is because I have this little job at a place, and it was in the mornings from, they said they wanted me in the mornings. It's only 12 hours a week, and they wanted me from 9 till 1, which I thought was all right because I've got this other casual job. But then they, because I wasn't doing what I was meant to be doing, they've changed it all, and they've made it all the afternoons now from 11:30 till 3:30. And they didn't really ask me. They just sort of did it. And I was sitting there thinking, should I say something? And I thought, if I say something, they might think, oh, well, do you want the job or not? And then, yeah, so it's still not sitting right with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, does it suit me or not? So I think the 11 o'clock is this job where it starts at 11:30.
That makes sense. So you've noticed that 11 has only been coming up in your dreams since that issue began?
Yeah, so mm-hmm. it has. I had another dream where I was looking for something and it was time to go to another job, and I thought I couldn't find it on the road, and then I found it, and it was about 11 o'clock in that dream too. Mm. So yeah, I think that's what that's about. It just doesn't sit right with me, but then I think, well, we'll just do it and see what happens. But then this other part of me goes, well, I don't know about this. I don't know what I'm doing sometimes.
This is too much red wig. Yeah.
yeah, maybe.
No, that makes sense, and I'm sure that's it. You could also flip back and look at when you were 11, whether there was another situation where someone had too much power over you as well. But I think what you're saying is right, that you've noticed that the 11 has come up in your dreams since this has begun.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe, I can't think of 11 at the moment, but yeah, maybe it's to do with that as well. I'm not sure.
Any idea what the seminar was about when you think about it now?
Well, when I've gone to seminars for work, they often will have like a little bit of food, and there was like a big table, and then there was this little corner where Lee's, my husband's sister, was selling the food. But you know, sometimes I'll have food you can just pick up, like chocolates or whatever. But in this one, it was more she was selling it. So I think it's something to do with work, like a seminar for work.
Mm. So
like,
that
like training, work training kind of thing.
So it definitely brings us back into the work question and my job there again.
Yeah.
So your Lee's sister is selling the cake. So what would be your three words to describe Lee's sister's personality?
She's very kind and gentle. She's a very traditional woman, I guess.
Mm.
And she's sort of a very religious kind of inner, and you know, gives. She's a nice person, I guess.
Does the right thing.
Mm. Yeah, and she's kind of, what is she? Let me think. She does get a bit uptight about things.
Mm.
Yeah.
So one of the things you've got there is the traditional, and, you know, you said at the beginning, and particularly with the ending of the dream, that this can relate to your tendency to do the female thing and be traditional and look after people. So she's got that aspect of her there. But she can also get uptight about that. So she may represent that part of yourself that's trying to do the right thing and be traditional, sell the chocolate, sell the cakes, but around work. So something that, as you say, in a normal work seminar, you would normally just be able to pick up without buying the cakes. You'd be able to be nurtured. This is something that you've got to actually buy or get for yourself, pay for, yeah. Would you say there's a feeling at work at the moment, or when you're thinking about work, that you're paying for something, not literally with money, but like, this is costing me, this job is costing me something emotionally or whatever?
Well, I think that the job where I'm working these hours, I have this other job where I could do a longer shift, but it have to be starting at like in the afternoon from 2:30. But now I'm doing these hours, I can't do that job as well on those days. Mm. So it's limiting my, not that I really like doing one job and then another job, but if I wanted to, I could. But now that's limited that. So I feel like I'm paying in that sense of there's other jobs that you can get a whole day's work, and
yes.
You know, there's other jobs I could go for and actually get paid better. And also it's actually a lower level than I was on before, because it's the kind of work I prefer to do. I'm sort of exploring, because I was doing more admin work, and this is more sort of looking after, not mentoring. And so I'm thinking, I'm doing it so I can get some experience in what I'm trained in, which is sort of youth work and things. But I'm sort of, it's at a cost. It is at a cost.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, is there anything at the end of this rainbow? Is there a pot of gold, or not a pot of gold, but is there any point to this? Or is I just going to waste my time doing this job? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. God, we can all feel for you for that one. And it's interesting that you say that the other job, the one that you can't always get to, the one that's costing you, usually starts at 2:30. So if 11:30, if the 11 in the dream you related to the 11:30 job, then the $2 for the chocolate in the dream could relate to the 2:30 job.
Oh yeah.
The one that makes sense. And you said in the dream you didn't have enough. You didn't have the $2, or you only had $2 in silver coins? Which was it?
Well, I had only like silver coin, only about 70 cents. And it's interesting, because in the job where it's only 12 hours a week, a little girl gave me about 70 cents to look after, and I forgot to give it back to her. So yeah, went just before the lockdown, and I thought, oh, I've got her money. I feel terrible. But yeah, so it was about that money she gave me that I had.
Mm. Right, so something that belonged to somebody else that you didn't get an opportunity to give back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm. And that was specifically 70 cents that you had of her in real life? We're not looking at symbolism.
I just put my hand in my pocket and bought out some silver. So I didn't actually count it, but I reckon it would be about 70 cents. I didn't count it. I just guessing.
Because there might also be something there about 1970 or a house number 70. You know, the 70 might have some other meaningfulness for you there.
But yeah, well, that could be about when I was about, maybe I was a bit younger than 11 then. But okay. I'll have to think about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but the essence of that bit is that you had some money, but you didn't have enough money to buy what you needed to buy, to get what you needed to get. But you thought that your husband might have the money.
Yes. But also I think I was going to ask him if he had the money. But also I had a sense of, well, isn't she packing up now? What's she going to do with this stuff anyway? And also I had the thought, because I'm trying to not eat chocolate, so why am I buying chocolate? Yeah.
Okay, I'm spending my money on something that I actually don't want.
But I still keep going for it. Yeah.
But I still keep going for it.
Part of me wants it and part of me doesn't. Yeah.
So if
it's not like a healthy thing. No,
but if you apply that to the job, there's a part of me that keeps going after one of these jobs or something that I don't really want because it's not really healthy for me.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. That makes sense, because the job I've got that they've changed my hours to afternoons, it's in a very, I've been working for this place for years, but it's very insecure work. So you always kind of don't know if you got work, and then you get the work and you go for a job and then you don't get it. And it's been going on for like 11 years of me, you know, hanging around in this industry where I'm not actually, it's the education department. I don't know. I just always seem to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and don't seem to, you know, score a proper job there. But part of me doesn't even want a job, because I guess part of me just likes to do different things and not be in the same job all the time too. So there's part of me that's causing the problem. Yeah.
Not causing the problem, but opening up opportunities and part of you that's questioning, why am I doing this?
That's right. And so part of me likes the insecurity of it, but another part of me just feels like I keep getting booted around in different places in that industry. Yeah. So, and part of me likes the other job better, and I don't know, it's always on my mind, like, what should I do?
And it's interesting that you mentioned one of the jobs has been going on for 11 years, so there's that 11 again.
Yeah, that's true. It's been going on for that long.
So so the fact that the your husband's sister's shop, she's trying to pack it up and put an end to it at 11 o'clock, that's also a part of yourself looking at, am I going to pack up this 11-year gig that I've had?
And just move on and forget about them.
Mm.
Perhaps I am. I am thinking that. I'm actually looking at leaving it completely.
Mm.
But then part of me thinks, oh, what if I stay and get something out of it? So, I'm not sure.
That fear of making the big leap of faith, isn't it? We just don't know. We just don't know what we can be moving on to. But sometimes unless you, if you're really lucky enough to find something else while you're still working and you can just make that transition, but sometimes you just need to listen, I guess, to that little voice inside that says, I've done 11 years of this and I'm not really getting any closer. I'm ready to make a change.
Yeah, I think maybe I am. I think also, I think this me staying in that job is that good woman thing, you know, like I've signed a contract and I'm, you know, those people know me now, and I said I'd do it till the end of the year, and, you know, like, I don't want to go on back on my word that I'd do it. And so there's that's also that, like, obligate, like, doing the right thing in me that thinks I should stay there to finish off this contract at least, and then I can go.
So on the one hand, there's only a few months to the end of the year, and that's doable, but on the other hand, what's the point? Yeah, as you say. and your bottom line in the dream basically was, I could wash up the knives and forks in the sink. I could help, but it's not my job. There's that word. I actually wrote it down when you said it. It's not my job, and I walked out. So there is a sense there. Would you say that, in addition to everything that you've told us, is there some area of the requirements of the jobs that you do where you feel that you're having to do things that are not your job?
Oh, interestingly, when I first got the job and they wanted me to come in the mornings, they were getting me to do like support in the classroom, but that wasn't the job. And so then the girl that runs it came along and said, no, we need her to do this mentoring. So then they just changed it all to the afternoons, and that's now I'm doing this other thing, and it's like, that did happen. What I was doing, what wasn't my job, which they insisted was my job. So they're not, anyway, it's just a bit of a mess.
Well, it's a bit chaotic, like that backyard of dogs and with not enough space.
Yes. That's right, yeah.
So it sounds, and I may have got it wrong here, but it sounds from what you're saying that part of you thinks that I've got to honour the contract and stay to the end of the year. And yet, what you're also saying is that they, perhaps some aspects of those contract they haven't delivered upon because they've given you different jobs to do or not given you, not used you in the way that you expected. Yeah. So if they've let you down, do you let them down?
That's true. Mm. Yes, and I think there is that part of it, but there's this other little part of me that goes, well, what if this leads to something else? But I don't think it is. Yeah, I'm starting to feel that I keep wanting something to come of it, but I don't know if it will. But there's also the part of me that's got to know all the kids I'm working with, and I feel like I'll let them down as well, I guess, if I leave.
That's the female thing, isn't it, that we all have, nurture everybody, without thinking that somebody else will take your place, and they may not do it in the way that you do it, and they may not do it anywhere near as beautifully as you do it, but they will do the job, and there will be other people waiting for you. I guess, you know, you say, I'm wondering if it will lead to something else. A couple of things that just strike me when I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, well, the first one is, has it led to anywhere else in that 11 years? But more important than that, I guess what you're really expressing is that you're expecting it to lead to something else rather than you to get up and take an action that opens that new opportunity. You're waiting passively instead of doing something proactively. But that's what I'm hearing from what you're saying. But would that be true?
Yeah, I think. I think I'm instead of going, what do I want to do? I'm just hoping that something floats my way along the river, sort of thing.
Yes.
Instead of going off and saying exactly what do I want to do and going off and doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's true.
How often have things floated along the river to you that you wanted?
Well, that's basically how I've planned out my whole life. I mean, you know, I trained in youth work and then I ended up working in admin again. Then I did other courses, you know, I've done other courses to do with, you know, counselling and always end up working in admin again. Mm-hmm. So this job isn't admin, and that's what I mean.
Mm.
I like the schools because you get the holidays off, actually. I like having the holidays off.
So there might be other school-type jobs that enable you to have the holidays off but that are more mentoring-focused?
That's right. That's what I'm thinking. But then if I got one of those full-time ones, I don't really want one of them because you don't get the holidays off, you just get 4 weeks.
Mm.
So I prefer to... Yeah, so I think this is definitely what the dream's about. It's just me going through this... Do I stay or do I go? That's probably what it is.
Mm. I think so, because, you know, it's interesting that when I said to you, how often do things float along the river to you? And you said, well, they have. But several times when you mentioned it, you said, so I ended up doing admin and then I ended up doing this and I ended up. And so in sort of ending up sounds like, well, that's the end of that then. It's not going to go anywhere else. But as you say, it did actually open to the mentoring. So that thing floated along the river to you. And I guess now it's do you float with that and see if it develops further? Or do you say, right, I've got the mentoring. I know I like that. I know what kind of hours I want to work. What are the opportunities? What are the opportunities in finding a job like that, pitching a job like that, or entrepreneurially offering my services as a job like that?
Yeah, that's probably what I have to decide. And also I have to decide whether those hours aren't that bad as well. Part of me thinks they're not too bad. Like, you know, you get to walk the dogs in the morning and do a bit of shopping and then you pop into work and then you're...
Yes.
You know, so part of me doesn't, it's going, am I rejecting this because I'm being a little bit pedantic, or am I rejecting this because they didn't ask me? I think that's what I didn't like. They didn't ask me.
They didn't ask you.
They changed it.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They're a bit rude, you know. They hope they're not listening. They didn't ask me and they didn't say, you know, well, how do you feel about this? And it's very sort of cut and dried there. They don't, not much discussion, you know, it's just like, this is what you're doing. This is how you're doing it, and that's it.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So that's probably, I don't like that about it either. Yeah, and
so,
I feel like I want to stand up for myself more and not be so.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's okay, you know.
Yes.
I want to say, well, that's not okay, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
No, it's such a difficult thing for so many women. You know, I mean, I was brought up the same way, that you just accept what's coming to you and you definitely do not say that's not okay. You don't ask for what you want. I do now. But, you know,
yes,
it's and I think it's wonderful that more and more women are realizing now that it is important to think about what you want and work out how to get that and stand up and say so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what the dream's about. I think thank you for that. It's very clear now. It made no sense with the lady in the wig at the beginning, but it makes sense now what's going on in my head.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. If we worked out some dream alchemy from it, what would be the key symbol that you think from your dream that kind of really nailed this for you?
I think the 11 o'clock and the 11 and the 2, I think that's, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Mm.
So, yeah, those sort of things are really struck me, because I just thought they were just, you know, the two especially, $2.
Yes.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, The wig, I think, too.
And the wig. Yeah.
Hiding underneath all that hair.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of a dream alchemy around that. You could do a dialogue in your own time, of course, which means that you either do it with a pen and paper, which is nice and natural, or you can do it with a keyboard on your computer, and you get the wig to talk to the number 11 in the first dialogue, and in the second dialogue you get the wig to talk to the number 2. and it goes something like this. You write really fast so your conscious editing mind does not come into the picture. It's like a flowing stream of unconsciousness. And if you find yourself, and I'll demonstrate it in a minute, but if you find yourself in this dialogue putting your pen down and thinking, oh, what shall I write next? You're not doing it right. It's just got to be, just slam it down there. And usually you don't speak each, the wig doesn't speak for more than a sentence. Maybe it's just a few words that will go something like this. The wig might start with, and I'll give you the opening line later, but the wig might start with, hello, number 11. How are you feeling today? And then 11 will come back and say, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, it'll say something. And you just keep on alternating what they say, and it'll be absolute rubbish to start with. And all of a sudden, it will start to make sense, because what will be happening is that the wig symbol and the 11 symbol from your dream, and then the second dialogue, the wig symbol and the number 2 from your dream, will actually start to not only explain themselves further, but start to negotiate some kind of integration or some kind of outcome. So it can be really interesting to watch how it happens. And you don't spend more than 5, 10, 15 minutes max doing the dialogues. But in each case, you start with a wig saying to the number, I'm going to get you to say to the number, what's the weather like today? Which is a totally silly start, but it just gets the ball rolling.
Okay, well, okay. I'll try that. That's a plan.
Yeah, and see
what
happens.
Thank you very much for that.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for bringing a fabulous dream to the Dream Show. And I think a lot of people will relate to a lot of the issues that came up. So, and given lots of people food for thought and courage, hopefully. And if you let me know privately what the outcome is, I would love to know.
Oh, sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Jane, Teresa.
I was chatting briefly with Lucy after we finished recording that, and she was noticing how many levels of meaning there are in a dream. And I think that always strikes me when exploring dreams with people. You know, you can take the 11 in Lucy's dream, or the mother-in-law's wig, or whichever symbol, and often you can find meaning for it at several different layers of meaning within your life, and they're all equally true. It's one of the wonders of working with the unconscious mind and dreams. And as I said before, if you want to learn more about how to work with your own dreams, consider doing one of the courses at the Dream Academy, dream-academy-online.com. And if you prefer not to learn, but to actually consult me direct, go to janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And you'll find all my services there. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Our next episode, 248, will be going out on October the 7th, 2021, if you're listening to this in real time. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.